Before we start, we have a note. This is the first episode on the subject of hydrogen. We also have a second episode. It will come later, so subscribe to our channel and never miss an episode. And now, more about hydrogen. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a new episode of our tech podcast by Bosch Rexroth. My name is Robert Weber, and it's a pleasure to talk to Matthias Danino. Welcome, Matthias.
Hi, Robert.
And Andreas Günder in California. Hello, Andreas. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello, Robert.
We want to talk about hydrogen and hydraulic systems, but before we do that, please introduce yourself briefly to the listeners, Andreas.
Hello, everybody. My name is Andreas Günder. I'm 35 years old. I'm from Franconia, Germany, and since beginning
Lower Franconia,
yeah, especially that. And since beginning of this year, I'm leading our Hydrogen Center of Competence in California, USA.
And what about you, Matthias?
Yeah, hi, my name is Matthias Danino. I'm 37 years old. I was born near Cologne and studied industrial engineering. But now I'm living in Franconia, near Lohr, and working for Rexroth now for 10 years in the industrial hydraulics business.
We want to talk about hydrogen and hydraulic systems. But before we start talking about technology, markets, etc., why is hydrogen so important for us, Andreas?
Yeah, so hydrogen is very essential to counteract climate change. We need to get away from fossil fuels and need to shift to renewable energy like solar, wind, and water power. And there are a couple of challenges related to that. One challenge is that the energy sources are not always there where you need the energy. For example, water is very far north and solar is close to the equator. So you need an efficient way to transport a high amount of energy over a long distance. And the second one is the second challenge that the renewable energies are very volatile. So it's not only day and night, it's also winter, summer. And hydrogen is perfectly suitable for being an energy storage. So both energy carrier and energy storage are important in combination with renewable energy sources to counteract climate change.
Matthias, what role does Bosch Rexroth play in the hydrogen industry?
In the hydrogen industry, you need the hydrogen and you need cars and trucks who use the hydrogen. But there has to be a way to get the hydrogen into these vehicles, and it has to be compressed to be as small, as compact as possible. And that's what we are doing with our hydraulics. We compress this hydrogen to a very small size.
Mm-hmm. I was a little bit afraid about this episode because a hydrogen episode always immediately provokes the battery supporters. Why is that, Matthias?
It is not like that, I think.
I'm sure it is like that.
Maybe some feel provocated.
Mark my words after we publish this episode.
But it does not have to be, because there is not the question, is it the battery or is it hydrogen? Because it will be both. Both have their advantages and disadvantages. And for cars, I think batteries are fine. You can charge them at home, you can charge them overnight, and then use them again. But for trucks and buses, you don't want to charge them the whole night, and you'd want to charge them immediately and go on. And you have a lot of space to store the hydrogen inside. And that's the reason why there are also very good aspects to use hydrogen in other aspects than cars.
What is your opinion, Andreas?
Yeah, so when I told my friends I'm going to the US and I'm working on hydrogen topics, a lot of people challenge this question, battery or hydrogen. And this question is a little bit annoying to me because it's not battery or hydrogen, it's battery and hydrogen versus fossil fuels. And there are a couple of differences between those two technologies, and also the market need is different. And I'm pretty convinced that for every market need, there is a certain technology needed. So, for example, the battery, you need to combine it with the electric grid. So only this in combination will be similar to hydrogen. Yes. So the electric grid and battery have a very high efficiency. So if you have low power and you can charge at home and you can charge the whole night, like Matthias said, perfect. But if you need to charge fast and you have heavy loads to carry, like in trucks, then hydrogen has a lot of advantages. So just thinking about a calculation example. So you fill up a diesel truck in 10 minutes, which means you need about 6 megawatt of charging power. So this is about more than 100 households, full power, or more than 4,000 hair dryers. So just think about this high amount of energy needed for that. And then it's a matter of what is more cost effective to do that. So it's not a matter of efficiency. It's a matter of what is the most economic way in the depending use case. And there is a big market for both technologies.
So you are based in California. Can you please share your hydrogen experience in California?
In California, I have the advantage that I can live the full hydrogen story. So I arrived here beginning of this year and I bought immediately a hydrogen-driven car. So I bought a Toyota Mirai. And why can I do that? Because around Los Angeles and around San Francisco, you have a lot of hydrogen refueling stations. So within 10 minutes of driving, I have 5 refueling stations and I can fill up my car like it would be a diesel or a gasoline driven car, and I can drive 500 kilometers. And for me, it's perfect. I'm working in engineering and sales. I need to commute a lot and I don't want to live my life around my car. I want the car giving me the possibility to be mobile and do what I want. And for this use case, this hydrogen is perfect. And one more sentence to California and hydrogen. To get a technology growing, you need to overcome the chicken egg problem. And nobody builds refueling stations if there are not enough users, because you don't make a business case out of that. But you also can't purchase vehicles if there is no infrastructure. So to overcome that, you need to think about a small ecosystem and grow it in parallel. And California did a really good job in that. So around San Francisco and Los Angeles, you can really drive a hydrogen car or truck. And for both the truck station owners and the users, it's a good feeling. And we can grow this technology.
Matthias, how do markets differ when it comes to hydrogen? If we compare, for example, California and Europe, what is different?
I think the main difference is how you store the hydrogen at the refueling station.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Can you go a little bit more in details?
Sure. So in Europe and also in Germany, we store hydrogen mainly in gaseous state, so in gas bottles at the hydrogen station. But when you use a lot of hydrogen at these stations, then you have to transport the hydrogen all the time, so 10 trucks per day. And that's really annoying and very expensive. And that's why countries where hydrogen is used a lot, like California, they are switching to liquid hydrogen. There you can transport 10 times the amount of hydrogen in a truck, store it liquid at the hydrogen refueling station, and then refuel the cars and trucks there.
And what does it mean now for Bosch Rexroad, for your offer to the market? And how do you do that for the European market, and Andreas for the US market, please?
Yeah, for the European and also especially for the Asian market, we have gas compression solutions. So the gas compression cylinders that we also use for other gas compression applications, but hydrogen especially, and also the hydraulic power units and the software, all these combined can be used in a hydrogen refueling station to compress the gaseous hydrogen there.
Yeah. In the US, like Matthias mentioned, we distribute it mostly in liquid state. And liquid means you need to cool hydrogen down. You need to cool it down to -252 degrees Celsius. This is only 20 Kelvin or 20 degrees above absolute zero in the whole universe. So, and this is really challenging. So this cold temperature, you need to have very, very good equipment to deal with that. And this equipment in this refueling station that can pump this liquid hydrogen is called cryopump. Cryo means cold, and pump means increase the pressure. So we are developing hydraulic driven cryopumps for refueling stations.
And you are a crucial part then in the whole infrastructure when it comes to hydrogen, right? Because without your pump, it's not possible to refuel the cars or the trucks, right?
Yes. In a car or a truck, currently you store hydrogen at around 700 bar. So if you look at your tire in the car, it says 2 bar. So it's 350 times the pressure in a tire. And to get to this high pressure, you need very, very good equipment and you need a lot of power. And there is also where hydraulics come into play. So hydraulic is known for a very high power density. So we're using this technology to pump this hydrogen to 700 bar to fill it in vehicles.
And I think the most important thing is that it's when you have a gas station or a refueling station, the user or the customer wants to refuel his car on his truck as always as he did with his petrol, right? Or with his diesel truck. Or am I wrong? They don't want to change their behavior at the refueling station. And it must be reliable.
Exactly. So the best pump we can do is that the user don't even recognize that there is a pump. So it pumps with very high efficiency. It pumps so silent that you can't hear it. It doesn't break, so very high reliability. And it's hidden somewhere in the station. And you have the same look and feel like with your diesel or gasoline car. You show up your station and you need in for a car about 3 minutes, 5 minutes, and for a big truck about 10 minutes. And then you're ready to go. So you don't need to think about that anymore.
So from a technological point of view, everything is solved, or am I wrong?
No, it's right at the beginning. So hydrogen is a really old fuel. Actually, the first combustion engine ran on hydrogen. But then we stopped this development completely because there was no market. Fossil fuels were so cheap to deal with and so easy to deal with. So now with the change to stop climate change, shift to renewables, the hydrogen story comes up again. But now we need to develop every component in the whole value chain. And the feedback from our customers is that especially this pumping system, because it's the highest challenge component in the infrastructure because of this high pressure and cold temperature, is the weakest point currently. So they said, hey, please, Rexo, you know how to deal with high pressure in hydraulics. You have all these engineers sitting around. Can you please take care about making a good product that meets our requirements? So based on this market need, and our competency, we recognized it's a perfect match and we need to jump into that and develop the missing puzzle piece in the hydrogen infrastructure.
What is your technological USP when it comes to the pump? What is so special? What is the magic, the rocket science?
I would say most important is really the efficiency. Because of this, this is related to this cold temperature of hydrogen. And it starts to boil immediately when it sees a little bit of energy. This energy can be based on compression, can be based on bad insulation. And then when this liquid turns into vapor, you need to let it go to the atmosphere. So you don't want to lose this hydrogen. So you need to work on a really, really efficient pump. This is priority number one. Then priority number two is the reliability. Because of this cold temperature, the high pressure, it's really tough for all components. So it's really material science, simulations, a lot of testing you need to do.
Fluid dynamics or what is it?
Fluid dynamics, everything. Yeah, fluid dynamics, finite element methods. So we're using all of that theoretical and practical possibilities to engineer an incredible pump with a high reliability. You need to reach a couple of thousand hours between maintenance to really make a positive business case out of that. And also to make the customers happy that when they show up at the station, it just works. So, and the third one is you need a pump that has a high pump mass flow that you get the same look and feel like a diesel fill.
Matthias, I want to come back to Europe because I want to ask you, where are other markets developing for hydrogen and why?
Yeah, Europe is developing straight right now. So it's stopping a little bit and it depends on the regulations and the governments. But in Asia, there are some very interesting countries, for example, India, China, but also South Korea and Japan. And the reason for this is these countries also want to be CO2 neutral or emission neutral in the future, but they cannot produce all the energy by themselves. It's not possible with solar or wind because the countries are small and they have a lot of or a huge population. And that's why they have to import it. But you cannot import energy via cables through the ocean, or you can, but just...
So we talk about liquid, right?
Liquid or gaseous, can be both.
Okay.
Yeah, but you can do it via pipelines or with ships, and that's why they are focusing on hydrogen also for their traffic system, for their trucks and buses, and that's very interesting for us.
Andreas, I want to come back to California. What can we learn from California in Europe when it comes to hydrogen from your point of view?
You need to overcome the chicken egg problem and you need to establish a lot of refueling stations and motivate users at the same time. And this you can do really good if you focus on small ecosystem. Here it's, like I mentioned, around San Francisco and Los Angeles. And by doing so, in California, there are about 16,000 hydrogen cars. Each refueling station sells between 100 and 500 kilos a day. So it makes fun for both the refueling station owner and the car user. And you get runtime on your equipment. You can improve the whole value chain. And this small exploration area helps to make a scalable business case out of that. So in Germany, for example, we have a lot of stations. We have more than California, but all over. But where I live in Germany, close to Würzburg, there's only one refueling station. So if it's down, I kind of, so even if I, so I'm an early adopter, I'm an engineer. I love to get the newest shit on the market. And it doesn't matter for me from the beginning what the economy is for this use case. And there are a lot of people out there, and you need to address those in order to get your whole business case running. Of course, it need to improve and you need to be economic, because the majority of people need to make business decisions based on economy. But in Germany, I wouldn't even be able to get a hydrogen car because there is no refueling station. So here we learn a lot about this exploration and innovation culture of California.
Matthias, Bosch Rexroth is now a part of the hydrogen world, and you need partners and you will become a solution provider. That's a totally different business approach than before when we talk about hydraulics and Bosch Rexroth. Or am I wrong?
No, that's completely right. So in the past, maybe the approach...
How do you handle that?
Yeah, in the past, I think the approach was more to develop something and after 2 or 3 years come to the market and say, this is our solution. Do you like it? But now buy it, please. But now we are cooperating with customers, or you could also say partners, because we start developing products with them and we start testing it with them. And we have a final solution that already fits to this customer and he's very happy about it. And then we can go to the market and present this solution also to other customers where we already know it's a fine solution that is working on the market.
Andreas, what was for you the most interesting news of the last 2 months when it comes to hydrogen in Europe or in USA or in Asia?
I think that I was really surprised about an enormous funding happened in Germany. So two things. So first of all, Germany approved the national hydrogen grid. This was very important to get the infrastructure developed. And the second thing that I would call the most interesting is that federal Germany and Baden-Württemberg gave Daimler Trucks 250 million funding for hydrogen trucks. And this is really sounds like a real game changer in the market. There's a lot of funding.
What is on your agenda for the next weeks, Andreas? What do you have to do? Share a bit what you do in research, maybe what kind of technique you're looking for, a little bit for our listeners.
Yeah, so I'm located here in California, but my development team is half here in California and half in Germany. So I really need to manage to get those two teams working very efficient together. So I stand up early, communicate with Germany, and then later I make my meetings here in the US. And it's a perfect combination. So here the challenge is really to prove that our USPs really come into place. So efficiency, reliability, the high pump mass flow. We have our test bench here. We need to do a lot of things on testing. We need to bring it in first refueling stations within the next couple of months. And in parallel, work together with the German engineering team to step by step increase the technology and also increase our portfolio for that. Because at the end, it's not only one cryo pump. There are small stations, big stations. There are stations that can make liquid direct fill, stations that can make high pressure fill. So there's a whole portfolio needed for that. So I'm trying to manage all of that.
And Matthias, last question is, what is in your agenda for the next weeks, months when it comes to hydrogen?
To have a close look what's happening in Germany and in all the other countries, and to get really involved in the countries where the hydrogen business is strongly growing, like South Korea, Japan, and other Asian countries.
Matthias, Andreas, thank you very much. It was a pleasure talking about hydrogen. All the best to California and all the best to you, Matthias, in Lower Franconia.
Thank you.
Bye.